Well, do turn, please, to Luke chapter 13. I want to speak to you this morning on the theme or the subject, Christ lifting up the downcast saint. The Lord Jesus lifting up, encouraging the one who was downcast and discouraged. And I want to use the incident recorded from verse 10 to verse 17 of Luke chapter 13 to do so. You will notice there in verse 10 of Luke chapter 13 that the Lord Jesus Christ had been teaching in one of the Jewish synagogues on the Sabbath day. A woman entered that place where the synagogue was, and who the woman was, we are not told. But what we do know from verse 11 is that she had a spirit of infirmity. We read that she had a particular problem with her spine. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Her spine was curved so that she could not straighten herself up. You've often heard the expression bent double with pain, and this woman literally was bent over in double, as we would say, with the pain she experienced because of this curvature of the spine. And yet, we find that though this woman was almost crippled with pain, bent double with infirmity, she was found to be diligently attending the public place of worship on the Sabbath day. Isn't that a rebuke to many? That on the Sabbath there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She did her utmost to make sure that she was in the public place of worship. Nothing would put her off. She was there to hear the teaching of God's Word. And what an example she is for each and every one of us to seek to emulate, to endeavor to get to the house of the Lord, no matter how we may be feeling, and to do our best to be in the house of God, whatever our own personal circumstances. It was when she came to the synagogue that she met the Lord Jesus, and what a difference He made to her life and to her circumstances and situation. You see, it's in the public place of worship that we find and meet the Savior. Where two or three are met together in my name. It was Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, who pointed out that two or three, it's the smallest public meeting you can have. If you have less than two, it's not a public meeting, it's a private meeting. But two or three, that's the smallest public gathering. Where two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst, and the special presence of the Lord is manifest where His people meet publicly. But before I go on to show you how the Lord ministered to this woman, I believe that I need to show you and to prove to you that this woman was a true believer in the Lord at the time she entered the synagogue. You see, Bible commentators are virtually split in two as to how they interpret and look at this passage. Some feel that the woman pictures a sinner who Christ liberated from the power of the devil, because the Lord particularly makes reference to the fact that the devil had oppressed her or bound her. She had an infirmity 18 years, verse 11 tells us. And as you read further down the passage, you read in verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond? And so some take it that, and some believe that this woman is to be taken as a picture of the sinner who was bound by Satan. However, if you look at verse 16 again, you will see that the Lord describes her as a daughter of Abraham. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan have bound, and it seems to be from those words that she was already a daughter of Abraham when Satan entered, as it were, her life, and Satan afflicted her. Bound her, as the word is. That little phrase, daughter of Abraham, does not simply mean that she was a physical descendant of Abraham. If you turn over in the New Testament for a moment to Galatians chapter 3, and it's the verse 7, you will see that it is a particular reference to those who are of faith in Christ as children of Abraham. Galatians 3 verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are those who have saving faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same are the children of Abraham. Do you see verse 6? As Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's saving faith. That's faith in the Messiah to take away your sin. Faith that His righteousness would be granted to you on the basis of His work. And as Abraham believed God, he says, know ye therefore. Abraham believed God to the saving of his soul. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So whether we talk about a daughter or a son of Abraham, it's a title for one who has genuine and true faith in the Lord to take away their sin and make them right with God. This is further confirmed in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 9. When Jesus said to Zacchaeus, the little man who went to see Jesus, and he climbed the sycamore tree, the Lord said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. When Zacchaeus was saved, he became a true son of Abraham, a spiritual son of Abraham. Oh, there are many, and they are the children of Abraham by natural birth, but they are not the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord is saying. Zacchaeus, you've become a spiritual child, the spiritual seed, as it were, by faith, by salvation. And so it was explained in Galatians. And I believe that the reference to this lady in verse 16 of Luke chapter 10 would lead us to believe that we have a picture of the believer who was burdened down, who was bowed down, who was bent down, and the Lord Jesus Christ lifted her up and met her and straightened her out and encouraged and blessed her soul. He lifted up the downcast. Maybe that describes you in the house of the Lord this morning. You are a child of God. You are of the spiritual seed of Abraham. You have believed in Christ to the saving of your soul, but there's things in your life and they're burdening you down. You're bent down and you can't lift up your eyes, as it were, to see spiritual things. And you're broken by the affliction you're facing. Then here's an experience that we would trust and pray that you will have, that Christ will lift you up and the Christ will bless you. Now there's three things about this experience that I want you to notice. I want you firstly to see the condition for the miracle. Look at verse 16, and we'll describe it firstly as her oppression. Notice her oppression. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond? You'll notice that the Lord did not say she was possessed of Satan or by Satan. Because a true child of God can never be possessed by the devil or by any fallen demonic power. But he did say she had been bound by Satan. If you read through the Gospels, you will discover that when the Lord cast the demons out of any individual. And he did it on a number of occasions. There was the demonic of Gadara in Luke chapter 8. There was the Syrophoenician's daughter in Matthew 15. There was the child and the man in the synagogue in Mark chapter 1. And on each occasion, the Lord cast the demons, the fallen demonic powers, out of those individuals. He never touched them. He simply commanded the demons to depart. And at his word, the demons did depart. But you will notice in verse 13 that the Lord Jesus laid his hands on her. He touched her. And therefore, I highlight that to prove and to show you this woman was not possessed of the devil. She was not possessed with a fallen demonic power. And that's not what the Lord was referring to or talking about. However, while she was not possessed by the devil, she was afflicted by the devil, and that a Christian can experience. We're studying, or really going through the great gospel questions in the book of Job on a Sunday evening. Job is one of the greatest examples of a child of God who was not possessed by the devil, but he was afflicted by the devil. And the devil afflicted Job in the sense that he took his family, he took his business, he took his health, he took the support of his wife and his friends, and we can say that he was oppressed by the devil. Peter, too, knew something of the devil's oppression. The Lord Jesus, speaking to Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat." And the sifting of the wheat meant the wheat was brought to the threshing floor and it was tossed in the air to and fro. Tossed to no end, as we would say. And that's what the devil wanted to do to Peter. He wanted to toss him as wheat, to have him that he didn't know what end of him was up, whether he was coming or he was going. And that's what happened, Peter, on that night in which he denied the Lord. He was oppressed by the devil. That's what the devil seems to have done to this woman. He had afflicted her so much that she was bound, tied in knots, and for 18 years she had no liberty, no power, no joy. And I believe there are Christian people and they fall into that category. They've taken a wrong turn in life. They've given the devil an opening into their circumstances. Perhaps there's been a problem in the home. Perhaps there has been some issue among the people of God. Perhaps it has been a personal tragedy or an illness that has come into their life or into their household. Perhaps it has been some besetting sin that you haven't been able to deal with, and the devil has taken it and the devil has used it, and he's used it to afflict you. He's used it to tie you down so that for years you've lived a miserable life out of communion and fellowship with the Lord. You've been joyless in worship, ineffective in service, and you just haven't been able to get on with the Lord. And you've been bound down, not been able to really go on with the Lord as you ought. Well, I tell you, if that describes you, then this portion of Scripture is for you this morning. That was her oppression. She was not possessed, but she was afflicted by the devil. I want you to notice not only her oppression, but notice her outlook. If you run your eye down to verse 11, you will see, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together. That means she was bowed down. As I said, this infirmity, it was a physical infirmity, and it was affecting her. She was, we might say, growing downward rather than upward. She was bent in two. Now you picture that in your mind. She's bent over, and she maybe needs the help of a walking aid, maybe a stick, and she's just bent over, and she can hardly lift her head up, and her outlook is downward. Perhaps the sun, the moon, the stars she hadn't seen in many days, for she couldn't lift up her head or her eyes. Her focus and her outlook was downward because of her physical condition. And doesn't it describe the spiritual condition that pervades and prevails over those who are so afflicted by the work of the devil in their life, his oppression of them, that all they can do is look upon the temporal things, the things of earth. Their eyesight is downward rather than looking upward and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. The Apostle Paul, who declared, "Set your affection, your mind, on things above." My friend, when the afflictions of the devil come, what are we to do? We're to lift our mind to the things above. We're to look to Christ in the heavenlies, to see Him upon the throne, reigning and ruling and working all things together for our good and to an expected end. But so often all we can see is the earthly circumstances, and we feel like Jacob, "All these things are against me." This woman had her eyes upon the earth rather than her eyes lifted up and looking unto the heavenlies. And I ask again, is there some believer, and you've been brought to this situation, these circumstances prevail in your life and in your experience at this moment in time? I want you to notice secondly this morning, not only the conditions prior to this miracle, but I want you to notice the compassion in the miracle. Mark verse 12, there's actually three things that the Lord in His compassion and in His mercy did for this lady and for this woman. Verse 12 describes the first one. "And when Jesus saw her," isn't that lovely? Just stop there for a moment. "And when Jesus saw her," the Lord, as the scene has depicted for us, the Lord is teaching in one of the synagogues. He has taken the scroll of God's Word. He has read it, and He is in the process of explaining it, applying it to the hearts of those that are there. And it tells us that in that vast crowd, I don't know whether she came in a little late or whether she was simply there in the congregation, but as she was there or as she was coming in the vast crowd, the Lord Jesus saw her. He looked upon her. And as she made her way to the house of God, the Lord saw her in all of her need. Isn't that a lovely thought? That in the vast company of those that were gathered, the Lord noticed this little frail, sick woman who had possibly just slipped in and was intending to slip out again, as we would say. And the Lord noted her, and the Lord saw her, and the Lord knew all about her. She might have been lost in the crowd to the synagogue rulers, to the scribes and to the other believers. But she wasn't lost to the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it teaches us and reminds us the words of that great hymn, "Jesus knows all about our troubles." And you may feel that you're one out of a number of a company of people and you wonder, does anybody else take note of you? You wonder, does anybody understand what you're going through? You wonder, does anyone have any concern or compassion for you? My friend, as you come to the house of the Lord, Jesus Christ takes note of you. He sees you. He knows all about your circumstances at this very present moment in time. And in this congregation this morning, you and your circumstances are not unknown and they're not lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knows all about our troubles. And just as Hagar, you remember Abraham's handmaid, and he took her to wife, and he had a son Ishmael to her, and Sarah treated her harshly and was put her out of the home, and she went into the wilderness, and she sat down, and they were both, Hagar and Ishmael, were about to die, and the Lord showed her a well of water there in the wilderness, and she named the place, "Thou God seest me." The Lord saw her in her need and provided for her. And I'm saying to you today, I'm stressing to you that you may be burdened down. You may be afflicted by the old enemy. You may have no answer and you don't have any answer yourself to those problems and those situations in your life. For Spurgeon, again, commenting on this passage, rightly said, this woman in 18 years could not remedy herself. What Satan bound in a moment, she couldn't remedy in 18 years. The synagogue couldn't remedy it. The scribes couldn't remedy it. The saints of God couldn't remedy it. But Jesus saw her. Jesus understood. And the Lord had the answer. The first thing he did was he looked upon her in her need. Then I want you to notice what else the Lord did for her. He not only looked upon her or saw her, but he spoke to this woman. Look at verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed of thine infirmity." The Lord obviously was standing in a prominent place. And he's addressing the whole congregation. He's teaching them the word of the Lord. But he stopped his address. He stopped his sermon. And he spoke to this woman personally and individually. I wonder, has that ever happened to you? You're in the house of the Lord. You're there with the other believers in Christ. And the minister is speaking. And he's seeking to teach the word of God. And the Lord takes a phrase. Or the Lord takes a verse. Or the Lord takes a little passage from the Bible. And by His Spirit, He comes and He applies it to your heart personally. And you know, the Lord's speaking to me. That's what happened to this woman. And ladies and gentlemen, brethren and sisters in Christ, that's what the Lord does for His people. He speaks to us personally. And it's God's Word that has the answer for every problem and every situation and every affliction that we face in life. I quoted in one of my prayers this morning in the book of Revelation, in the chapter 12, we read those words that they overcame him. That is the devil. The saints overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony there is not a reference to their personal testimony as to how they get saved. It's a reference to the Bible. It's the testimony of the Lord. It's the word of God. and you will overcome. And the answer to all affliction and all oppression, all attacks of the devil, is by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of God. And it's the Word of God being applied to your heart personally by the Lord Himself, and you feeling the victory and the power of it and living it out in your life. That's what happened to this woman. The Lord called her to Himself. He spoke personally to her in her state of infirmity, in her weakness. And what did He say in verse 13? In verse 12, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Do you notice, and I want you to see this, it says that the Lord told her, "Thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And then, see, here's the third thing, and I want to just join them both up. He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. The third thing He did, He saw her, He looked upon her, then He spoke to her, and then He touched her. And it was when He touched this woman that she was made straight, but she had already been loosed from her infirmity. The devil's power was broken. She was made spiritually right before she was made physically right. And that's important. And I want to tell you why it's important. You see, there are men and women who give, as it were, the devil a foothold in their life. And like this woman, they are afflicted, they are bound, they are tied in knots, they are brought low, no liberty, no power, no joy. And they think to themselves, and maybe even say unto the Lord, "Lord, if You sort the circumstances in my life out that are all wrong, I will give my heart and life back to the Lord, and I'll get spiritually right." This passage teaches us that that's putting the cart before the horse. We must get spiritually right before the circumstances in our lives will be put right. And what the Lord did, He spiritually loosed this woman from the affliction and oppression of Satan, and then He straightened her up, and she was physically made whole. Oh, the backslider whose life is in a mess, they need to get right with the Lord first and foremost. And then the Lord will bring about a change in the circumstances that will give them the joy and the blessing of salvation restored unto them. That's the compassion within the miracle that the Lord had. And He touched this woman. That was the final thing that He did. He looked, He spoke, and He touched. I want to tell you, the Lord's touch makes all the difference. What a difference it makes, and I don't have the time to go into every example, but the Lord touched Elijah when he was under the juniper tree to encourage him in his despondency. The Lord touched Daniel to strengthen him when he fainted under the mighty visions of the Lord. And the Lord touched this woman to heal her. I tell you what you need is the touch of the Lord to touch your life. I tell you, He's able and He's willing to do it. The hymn writer said, "He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the wonderful joy that filled my soul. Something happened and now I know He touched me. It made me whole." Is your life broken, burdened down? I say unto you, look to the Lord. He's looking upon you. He has a word for your soul. And He'll touch your life and make you whole. The final thought is simply the consequences of the miracle, the condition for the miracle, the compassion in the miracle, and the consequences of the miracle. Notice the difference this encounter with Christ made for this dear saint of the Lord who had been afflicted by the devil. Look at verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The crookedness was gone. Isn't that the picture? She was bent over. Her spine was curved in such a way that she was, and I'm not saying this in the bad sense, because sometimes we talk about someone being crooked, they're crooked in a really bad sense, that you couldn't deal with them in a straight way. But this woman was, she was a crooked wee woman in the sense that she was just stooped over. That's all we mean. And yet, the Lord straightened her up. And she could stand upright. And she could lift up her eyes again to see the heavens. The Lord straightened her out. Isaiah 45 and verse 2 says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. The things in your life, dear child of God, that seem crooked and just can't be straightened out for the better, the Lord can go before you and straighten them all out. He can make the crooked places straight. There was something else that happened as a result of the miracle. There was not only a difference in the woman, but there was dissatisfaction in the synagogue. It says, the ruler of the synagogue, verse 14, answered with indignation. Oh, there was an old apostate in the synagogue. And he didn't like the fact that this woman had got the liberty and the joy and the healing touch of the Lord. And he wanted to make an old excuse. You shouldn't be doing this on the Sabbath day. And the Lord rightly called him out. Thou hypocrite. Look, folks, we mark it. The Lord did not hold back when someone evidenced apostasy and hypocrisy in the things of God. He just called him out there and then. The ruler of the synagogue, didn't matter that he was the ruler. Didn't matter that he wore the religious garb or the garb of position and authority. Thou hypocrite. That's what the Lord called him. And oh, that the Lord Jesus would display his liberating power and grant to us the blessing of his power, and that we'd live it out even if it upsets the old, stale, dead apostates who know nothing of Christ's saving or keeping or liberating power. A downcast, discouraged soul, bowed down, broken by the affliction of Satan, and the Lord lifted her up, give her the liberty and joy and freedom and blessing again. If these circumstances describe you, may you have the same experience with Christ today, and may you know his blessing in your life.